Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us. Tell your friends about us if you like us. And we have a special guest, as usual. This is the B segment, 975B of the podcast. The A, always the news of the week. The B, special guests. And we have a wonderful guest on just a tremendously interesting subject. I should remind you, we're brought to you by Persona Nutrition. Persona Nutrition, I know there is one thing that you want. That's better health and nutrition. But many times, and it's almost sometimes is underestimating it, because it's many times people come and ask questions about vitamins and supplements and what they should take, and it's confusing, they say. So that's why I recommend Persona Nutrition, because with Persona Nutrition, you get personalized supplement recommendations and custom vitamin packs delivered right to your door. Plus, and by the way, I am head of their scientific advisory board, so it is a great company and it's scientifically based. Plus, we've got a great offer today for you. Just go to personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's personanutrition.com. Persona Nutrition, one word, P-E-R-S-O-N-A, nutrition.com/Roizen, where you can take your free assessment and get 50% off on your order today. That's right, 50% off on your first order. What have you got to lose? Try it today. PersonaNutrition.com/Roizen. Ken Getz is the founder and board chair of the Center for Information and Study on Clinical Research Participation, called CIS-CRP. He's also a professor and deputy director of the Center for the Study of Drug Development at Tufts University School of Medicine, which is has been for a long time a major force in drug development and innovations in clinical research and clinical study design in the United States. I'm going to tell you, or have him tell us, more about the center and about him, him, in specific. Ken is someone who has done a lot of work on how to make drug development and the clinical trial process more efficient and more beneficial. His book, and he's the author of The Gift of Participation, A Guide to Making Informed Decisions About Volunteering for a Clinical Trial, and the website is CIS-CRP.org, or of course you can get it on Amazon. Ken, how did you get into this field of drug trials?
Wow. Well, I originally started with a focus, and by the way, thank you so much for having me on your show. I started originally with a focus on the medical sciences. I was thinking about going to medical school, but ended up spending time in management consulting, because I was very interested in the intersection of science and how to manage good science. And that got me into collecting more data and information that could guide people involved in drug development to be more efficient, to do higher quality research. And from there, it just led to my interactions with a larger number of patients as I started publishing papers on our research that was primarily geared for the scientific community and the corporate world, like pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies. I started getting more phone calls from patients and their families, people who really were so eager to find a potential treatment that could represent some improvement for them over the lack of any known therapy, or perhaps one that they were taking that had bad side effects and that sort of thing. So it was very much a natural extension to go from the work that we do at the Tufts Center and that I was doing in consulting to providing more information for patients and the public.
And now the next subject that I'd like to get into is how easy or tough is it to get into a clinical trial if you have a disease that's relatively common? And then what are the benefits? What are the risks? And how do you get into a trial that you really want to get into, but the drug hasn't yet been approved?
Right. So these are all such important questions. And the answer to the first one, how easy or hard is it? It really varies widely. Some clinical trials have very, very strict eligibility criteria, very, very strict rules about who qualifies to participate in the study. If you have a particular disease, it might have had to progress to a certain level before you can participate, or they may only be looking for people of a certain age or a certain race and ethnicity. So there are all kinds of eligibility criteria that might make it difficult to participate in a study and might make some people ineligible to participate. But that said, at any given time, there are some 80,000 active clinical trials that are being conducted. And so chances are, especially if it's a more common disease, if you don't find one trial for which you may qualify, there's a good chance you'll find others. What are the benefits of participating and the risks? And the book, The Gift of Participation, talks a lot about this. The benefits are often the opportunity to interact with research professionals and people who have real expertise in a particular disease area. And so you'll have exposure to interacting with them. Typically, in a clinical trial, you may receive more attention than you might receive at a typical doctor's visit, for example. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, please. I just was saying, and aren't there data that show that people who participate in clinical trials do better in general? That is, that their outcomes or their survival in serious illness is, in fact, improved just by their participation, or am I just remembering things incorrectly?
Well, that is not supported by the evidence. It really depends on the trial and it depends on the patient. We have many, many stories, very anecdotal cases where people claim that the therapy that they received in a clinical trial saved their life and brought them personal benefit in some way. And there are many, many examples, as I said, but it's on a case-by-case basis. In general, most people don't personally benefit by taking a drug in a clinical trial. In fact, most clinical trial or investigational drugs fail to move through the trial. They fail to demonstrate that they're safe and effective, and as a result, those are drugs that will not make it into the marketplace.
Now, you were going through the benefits of actually getting to interact with experts in the field and people who were concerned about you. I interrupted you before you got to the hazards.
Yeah, and let me just say that there are a few other benefits. Just because a person is in a trial for which the therapy may not bring them direct personal benefit, many people participate because they know that whatever knowledge is learned from the trial will actually benefit people who suffer from that illness in the future. So there's very much a feeling, an altruistic feeling, that you're helping to advance medical knowledge. And when you're in a trial, all of your study medication, all of your tests and procedures that are performed are paid for by the study sponsor. So that's also really important. And one last benefit, sometimes people will be compensated for their time and commitment to participate in a trial. So occasionally a trial may offer some type of compensation. The risks are always there as well, and that's really important for people to know. There is the risk that the medication that you're taking in an investigational study or a clinical trial may have side effects that could harm you. Some side effects might be minor, but there are studies where the side effects could really be major, and that might result in you having to drop out of the study. And of course, there are medical and research professionals who are monitoring you throughout the study, really to make sure that you don't have an adverse reaction. You might also receive a placebo or an inactive substance or the current standard therapy. So you, by participating in a trial, you may fall into one of the groups that doesn't receive the investigational treatment. And for some people, that's really what they were most interested in when they got involved in the study to begin with. So those are some of the risks. And then there's always the inconveniences. Sometimes you may have to travel a far distance. Some of the procedures might be painful, having a lot of blood drawn, for example, or some of the treatments that could even be potentially invasive. Those carry some risks with them and might be painful as well.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Now, one of the other areas that we wanted to get into was the right to try, or what happens if you've got a disease that's a very serious disease, but the drug isn't available, hasn't been approved yet, or you can't get into the protocol because of some other problem you might have or the study might have as an exclusion.
Yeah, that's a really, really important point, and it's something that we explore in a full chapter in The Gift of Participation. In the past, if you didn't qualify for a clinical trial, essentially you had to just keep looking for other trials, and often those would be trials of medications, investigational medications that may not be appropriate for you. Under new laws, the right to try law, and under far more expansive, expanded access programs, people who don't qualify for a clinical trial might still be able to gain access to a therapy by working with their own physician to contact the pharmaceutical company to inquire about receiving that medication. And there are countless examples of people now who've been able to receive an experimental or an investigational treatment without having to be in the clinical trial under the care of their own physician.
So why is it the name right to try is an interesting name to the law? Do I have the right to push the pharmaceutical firm to offer it to me, or does it have to be a willingness on their part as well?
It's both. You have the right to solicit, to identify a drug and to solicit the company to grant access to it, but it's really up to the company to give you that access. So there's still that element. In research that we've done, the vast majority of right to try requests are granted. But sometimes there might even be hidden costs associated with that. In some cases, the patient has had to pay for the production and the shipping of the drug. So
sometimes
there are other things you have to know.
So sometimes you actually have to pay for the drug in this right to try law. Now Japan, and you probably are an expert in this as well, also has this expanded right to try. Is that correct? And they, our law is modeled after theirs. Is that my understanding?
Yes. Yes. I mean, the right to try laws in the U.S. Were in part based on a program that had been pioneered in Japan and obviously adapted to our legal system and to a process where we could engage the healthcare provider as the primary advocate for patients in the U.S. to participate in the right to try program.
And now, one of the other questions that people always ask me, and just so you know, I've done, I was on an FDA advisory committee for, I was a consultant to one for 8 years and on one for 8 years. You're 2 years on, 2 years off, and during those off years, yeah. I was a consultant and I was chair of a committee. So and I have a little expertise in this area, but what I'm trying to do is ask questions that are simple, if you will, simple from the standpoint of someone with your expertise, but complex from the patient's standpoint. Patients always ask me, how do I find out about the results of all the patients in this trial? Or do I have the privilege of doing that? Or do I just get my results? Or how do I know what medicine I got?
Yeah, and boy, you really are an expert. You and I should be co-experts in this space. That is probably one of the most frustrating and challenging areas that the clinical research community has yet to address sufficiently, and it's a major problem. It's really hard for patients to get the results of their own clinical trial, and that's hard to believe. In this day and age, the vast majority, over 95% of patients, want to know even the general findings of their trials. And a similar percentage tell us every year that they, following their participation, they did not receive a copy directly. Sometimes patients will find out years later, right? They'll learn about the results of their trial that were, in general, were published in a peer-reviewed journal. Or oftentimes when a company has a drug approved, they'll broadcast and promote the fact that the drug was approved, and they'll provide some very general results. But patients really have to do all their own sleuthing and detective work to gain access to the results of their trials. Now, under the FDA Modernization Act, a growing number of drugs will list some general information on clinicaltrials.gov. And so you can go there. That's the government-run website that'll have some basic technical information, but it's not overly helpful. Most people find the information to be really difficult to understand if you're even able to find it. So one of the things that my nonprofit SysGrip is doing is we're working with companies to translate technical results into plain language and to make them available, in most importantly, to the people who gave the gift of their participation as a study volunteer. And we're slowly having success in making this become a more standard practice. But it's one of those areas where I am just so frustrated and disappointed and eager to find ways to push the research community to do a better job of disclosing this information to patients and the public.
So we are talking with Ken Getz, the author of The Gift of Participation, A Guide to Making Informed Decisions About Volunteering for a Clinical Trial. He's the founder of CysCRP, and we've obviously been asking questions to ask before you volunteer for a clinical trial, questions that I often get asked. He is the professor at Tufts in the Center for the Study of Drug Development at Tufts University School of Medicine in Boston. But obviously, you can find out a lot more about it and about this book by going to CISCRP.org, CISCRP.org. And you can see all the information about Ken Getz. You obviously have heard a great discussion so far. I'm going to ask just a couple more questions because we're running out of time. And Ken, I'm curious, In the last 15 years, we've gotten the social media involved in everything. Have the drug companies and study organizers, even the CROs, gotten involved in doing much with social media to either help enrollment, help continue participation, or share the results that way, or have they not been doing that?
They've been extremely involved in so many ways. I would say social media today has become one of the more common places where the news about a clinical trial that will soon be initiated is posted, especially a social media community that might be associated with a disease or patient advocacy group. And as you know, a lot of patients will share their experience with a drug, whether it's in a clinical trial or whether it's a drug that they're taking. They'll share their own experience through a social media community. It's a way that people find get advice and find comfort with other people who might share in their disease experience. And a lot of companies will monitor what is said in a lot of these social media communities to see if a particular pattern emerges in terms of the safety profile of a drug or how well it's working, or whether it's interacting with other treatments or behaviors that are common and as part of that patient's experience. So there's lots of ways that social media has become much more important. And patient recruitment, I would say, is probably one of the number one areas today that that is active on the social media environment.
And why are they not using that with the participants to share results? Is there a legal reason? Are they scared of some legal problem? Or is it just a matter of they haven't developed that area?
Yeah, I think that it's the latter. I don't think it's been developed fully, in part because there are concerns that if it were to get into a social media environment, misinformation might be disseminated. It's really a desire to try to contain the interpretation of the results and not get not let it get too far ahead with too much discussion when it doesn't have an expert or the physician community involved. And so I think that's probably the main reason. We certainly see companies that are creating portals and other online communities where they can disseminate information, but when it gets into a social media community, it's a lot harder to contain.
You've been listening to Dr. Ken Goetz, author of The Gift of Participation, A Guide to Making Informed Decisions About Volunteering for a Clinical Trial. The website, cyscrp.org. And of course, we are, as usual, sponsored by Persona Nutrition, a home for people to go and find out what they're missing or not missing in their usual diet and what they can do about it. Persona, mypersona.com is the site to go to for our sponsor. Ken, I want to thank you very much. This is a important topic as, if you will, the gift of participation is a great way of phrasing it, because it is really a philanthropic thing that you are doing when you participate in a clinical trial. You're advancing medical science, often for everyone who's coming behind you, and many times not for yourself, but sometimes for yourself too. And you obviously, as Ken has pointed out, as Dr. Goetz has pointed out, this is really, you get to find out the experts in the world when you participate in a clinical trial and get to interact with them. I'm Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast. You've downloaded us. Thanks for doing it. 50,000 or 51,000 if you do it weekly. We appreciate that. Tell your friends about us. This is 975B of the podcast. B is always the guest segment. And as you know, Dr. Michael Bruce was on 2 weeks ago, one of my favorites, the sleep doctor, talked a lot about sleep. Two people who've talked about aging in the skin, Sandy Skolnicki was on last week, 974B, and Dr. Paul Stanislaus talked about the new laser and tattoos, 972B. I was surprised to find out how many people have tattoos and how many people try and get rid of them. 970B was David Haskam. I'm going through some of my favorites, obviously. Do you really need spine surgery? This one will be one. And Dr. Leonard Calabrese talked about immune strength, 962B. And someone who Ken Getz will probably know well, Catherine Eban, was at 9. I've got to look at the exact number. I think it was 947B, The Bottle of Lies, The Inside Story of the Genetic Drug Boom. Catherine Eban, if you do nothing else in the last year, if you listen to that one, and also Dr. Marwan Sabaz on Fighting for My Life, talking about Alzheimer's disease and the drug studies for Alzheimer's disease, as well as where we are, which isn't very far, although there's been a lot of money invested in it. Dr. Marwan Sabaz, 948B, what else you can do to prevent the dementia that is common. And Catherine Eban, Bottle of Lies, all sponsored by Persona Nutrition, mypersona.com. Thanks very much, Ken, Dr. Getz, for coming on. It's ciscrp.org is his website.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
And thank Luis for great engineering, but especially you for downloading us.